Welcome to the Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley at Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. May the Lord inspire, encourage, and direct you today. May you be transformed and refreshed by the Water of the Word.
Do you see, when we come to the altar of God, we don't have to sacrifice innocent animals anymore, praise God, because the innocent blood of Jesus Christ has done all of the healing. When we confess sin and don't hide from it, blessed is he whose transgressions, the willful disobedience, has been covered, and whose sin has been sprinkled. David is calling into mind the powerful imagery of the scapegoat. Blessed is a man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. That means happy. And in whose spirit there is no deceit. What happens if you don't confess? David said, when I kept silent, my bones grew old. In other words, my bones ached. And through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Ever been there? Now watch this. My vitality, King James says, my moisture. My moisture was dried up and it was turned into the drought of summer. You know, sometimes when we're feeling dry with the Lord, how's it going, you know, sister or brother in the Lord? And if they're honest with you, they may say, tell you the truth, man, I'm kind of feeling dry in my spirit. It might be that we're harboring something that we haven't been completely honest with the Lord about. Most often the dryness that I feel is not because God left. It's because I have unconfessed sin weighing on me. And David here in Psalm 32, as you know, he wrote that after he confessed his sin with Bathsheba. Before I told anybody, I was just carrying this huge weight around. But blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven. Two things happen at the altar of confession. You get clean and cleansed by the blood, and all of your sin, like a bucket, gets emptied out. Any of you ever need just some of that? The devil is such a creep, you guys. He's all, you know, go ahead and do it, you know. Nobody's watching. Nobody will know. And then you do it, and then your inside gets dry like King David, and your bones hurt. And you go to church, and you go to the Word, but there's a party that's like, man, I got some stuff tagging along, and there's a dryness. I got no moisture. Verse number 4, my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. What do? You come to the altar of God. Look what David said. Then your transgressions, the willful things you know you shouldn't have done, they're going to get covered by the blood of the Lamb. Because when God moves, when God is here, there's not only cleansing, there is release. Back to Psalm 103. You guys know about families and Thanksgiving, right? Did any of you ever have a turkey go right through the plate glass window of into the front yard? I know some people that has. And what happens is there's all this untalked about, unresolved things. Oh, Harvest, may we be people, if God so chooses, if we're going to a family situation or gathering, or they're coming over to our house, may we be people who are quick to go first in saying, I'm very sorry. What, if anything, can I do to make it up? Because a couple things happen supernaturally when you do. You get cleansed by the blood, and then you get released. And the bucket gets poured out. Back to Psalm 103. Verse 3, who forgives all of our iniquities. Is that something wonderful to thank God about? Who heals all of our diseases. And some of us say, well, I know people that weren't healed. And I say, well, maybe not on this side of glory. Absolutely, every one of us will be healed in heaven with Him. But I don't want you to walk away saying, well, okay, big deal. Because here at Harvest, we've seen some literal bona fide, actual doctors scratching their head medical miracles. I've seen it with my own two eyes. So it may be on this side of glory, but certainly on the other. Can we thank God for that? Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction? How many can thank God for that one? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And yes, to be sure, a crown is an adornment of the head, but the literal idea for this word for crown is He surrounds you. You step up to that place of confession and honesty before the Lord and lay it out there and lay down your excuses. You're going to get cleansed. You're going to get released like the scapegoat. And then what is He going to do? He's going to surround you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, mercies indeed. Verse 5, you know what else He does? He satisfies your mouth with good things. That's a good thing to be thankful of on Turkey Day. So that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Bible says, hope set aside makes the heart grow sick. And that's one of the things that the enemy loves to do, is to try to be in your ear the whole time. Loser, you're not going to make it. Or those promises that God gave you. Maybe it was last week. Maybe it was last year. Maybe it was years ago. And the enemy's all, see, neener, neener. God doesn't like you. He doesn't, whatever. Sometimes you need to go thank God for what He has given you, because that will renew your heart. And He is the one who often renews, reminds us what He has promised. Verse 6, you know what else He does? The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Check out the Proverbs. How many times has God mentioned, don't mess with poor people? I'm watching. Verse 7, He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. Another way of saying that is, you want to know God's heart? He wrote it down for us in this love letter called the Bible. How many can thank God for God's Word? That's a wonderful thing to thank Him for. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger. How many can thank God about that one? And He's abounding in mercy. I couldn't help but think, a Bible trivia question, who's the oldest man in the Bible? Methuselah. 969 years, says the Bible, that's how old he was. He's the oldest man in the Bible. So, do you know what Methuselah's name means? When I die, judgment's coming. Everything in the Bible is there for a reason and a purpose. Methuselah's name means, when I die, here comes God's wrath. And when he died, the flood of Genesis 6 opened up. Who's the oldest man in the Bible again? Methuselah. Do you see the beautiful model? God saw to it that who lived the very longest? In John chapter 21, the last healing ministry and miracle of our Lord was fixing the ear, Malchus, who got his ear lopped off. Do you remember by whom? By Peter. An indiscriminate use of the sword. It was the Sabbath. It was Passover. Was Peter supposed to be packing? But there he was. Though these, you know, may let you down, I never will. Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times, which he did after the Garden of Gethsemane. But there he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's your big chance, big man. So he pulls out this big old sword and he wields it in a very awkward manner. And he takes an uncoordinated swipe and the guy ducks and gets his ear lopped off. Jesus stops the whole crowd. What was the crowd there to do? To arrest him, and he was going to be on a cross the next morning. Yet Jesus still stoops and picks up this ear, now drained of blood, probably is white like cauliflower. And the last healing ministry of our Lord was healing something that one of his ministers did. Peter denies him, you know, three times. The Bible says the last time he denied the Lord to a little girl. He swore, as the Lord lives, you know, I do not know the man. And the Bible says at that moment their eyes met. Of course, he raises from the dead. Do you remember where he told Peter and the boys to wait for him? In the Sea of Galilee region, but on one more specific detail. Were they supposed to wait on the lake, or were they supposed to wait on a mountain? They're supposed to wait on a mountain. I want you to go to the mountain. Okay. So they went and they waited. And then you get to John 21 and you see Peter. Man, you know, when's the Lord going to be here? When's he going to be here? Peter's a take charge guy, type A personality. Let's get some stuff done around here. Well, he told us to wait on the mountain. I can't take it. What does Peter say? I'm going to go fishing. So a bunch of the guys went with him because he had influence. Be careful, leaders, and those of you who God has given influence. So a bunch of them went with him, and you know the story, they didn't catch anything. And then they fished all night, and the next morning they see a guy standing on the shore cooking some fish. And there he yells, "Lads," which is to say, "Hey, apprentices." These are seasoned fishermen on that lake, and he calls them rookies. "How was fishing last night?" "Who didn't catch a thing? Well, try your net on the other side of the boat. Like 4 feet's going to make a difference." But you know the story? They pull in the haul. Peter go, "That's the Lord." And Peter takes off his coat and thrashes to the shore, and he can't wait for the boat to show up. You know the story. Jesus got breakfast made for them. What do you think is going through Peter's mind? Where did God tell Peter to wait? On the mountain or on the water? On the mountain. He busted Peter again, doing what he wasn't supposed to be doing. And then there's that little interchange. Jesus kind of comes sit by him, and I imagine that Peter is having a real rough time. He was never really able to say, "Lord, remember when I denied you to the little girl and we saw each other? You know, I really feel bad about that." I don't know that he had a chance to really process. Things happened so quickly after the resurrection. And then, of course, he said, "You go wait on the mountain." He bust Peter fishing on the boat. "Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me?" In the Last Supper, Jesus would say to the boys, "If you agape me, you will do what I say." And they all probably nodded in hearty agreement. Yes, amen. Jesus came back on that day on the Sea of Galilee, and he caught Peter on the boat, not on the mountain. Was Peter doing the word of Jesus? Jesus says, "Do you agape me, Peter?" Peter is warring within himself. He remembers what Jesus said not that long ago. "If you agape me, you'll do what I say." Was he doing what Jesus had said? In Peter's mind, "I can't say agape. I phileo you, Lord. I love you, Lord, but not agape." Phileo, a little different. So did Jesus say, you darn right you can't say agape. Busted you, pal. You know, you better get back into seminary and hang out for a few more semesters. What does he say to Peter? "Feed my little lambs." Peter's all, "Oh Lord, you're piling it on." Ask him again, "Peter, you agape me?" Peter says, I phileo you. "Then feed or tend my sheep." And the last time Jesus says, "So Peter, you phileo me?" Something happened in Peter's heart. We don't have a video, but I see it as, "So Peter, it's phileo then?" And I wonder if the beautiful mercies of God from the Spirit flooded his heart. And he realized, "Of course I agape you, Lord. Whether I'm in obedience or whether I'm not, I agape you." Some days are better than others, hey Harvest? And you know what Jesus said? then feed my sheep. Has the Lord ever busted you doing something you weren't supposed to be doing? It's the enemy that says, you better stay down on the mat. Don't you dare raise a voice or a hand in prayer. You're busted, pal. Look at verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Who's the oldest man in the Bible? Methuselah, whose name means when I die, here it comes. And then don't forget Peter. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, I do. Why? Because I realized the law says I couldn't say agape, but your mercy coursing through the realization of my mind, I agape you, Lord. Great, says Jesus. Now go teach that beautiful mercy to others. Verse number 9. He will not always strive with men or contend with us because our flesh is terrible. That's going to change one day. Nor will he keep his anger forever. Praise God for that. Verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. What he's saying is, how many of you are glad that Jesus doesn't punish us like he should? Can we be thankful for that? Amen. Verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, how far is that? So great is his mercy towards those who fear him. How high is that, you guys? Oh, his mercy is never ending. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? If he went north to south, you could go to the North Pole and then eventually you're heading south. East and the west is a whole nother ballgame. If you head east, you'll always be heading east. A figurative term for forever. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Thank you, Lord. Verse 13, as a father pities his children or has great compassion, as a father has great compassion for his children, so the Lord has great compassion to those who fear him. I'm sorry if you're father figure in your life was less than gracious, but your heavenly Father is not like that. We're the ones that go and say, oh, I did that sin again, Lord. You must really be disappointed with me. Theologically speaking, he might say, what sin is that? How much sin did he pay for, you guys? All of it. Verse 14, for he knows our frame. He knows what you're made of. He remembers that we are, oh boy. King James, when I was a much younger person, I remember somebody was tee-heeing and giggling, and he showed me something in the Bible. Do you know something, Steve? What? Your butt dust. Wait, what? And he opened the Bible to this place, and King James says, he remembers that we are butt dust. For a pre-adolescent, that was pretty funny for me. And, you know, well, may the Lord use that in your own heart and mind. I've been butt dust a time or two in my life. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower in a field, so he flourishes, but the wind comes up, passes over, poof, it's gone. His place remembers it no more. Humans come and go, but, verse 17, but the mercy of God is never fleeting. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Humans will let you down, and humans means you. If we're ever disappointed with another human or disappointed with ourselves, then we have forgotten what God's word says about us. That in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Somebody once said, how could bad things happen to good people when a charitable person goes down in a plane crash as they're taking medical foods and supplies to some impoverished nation? How can terrible things happen to good people? They don't have a proper understanding. It's not why can bad things happen to good people. Are any of us good? Why does anything good happen to bad people? because of his grace. On those who fear him and his righteousness to the children's children, generation after generation, humans come and go, but God's mercies that surround us around, they're from everlasting. They never stop. The spigot is always flowing for his mercy. All we got to do is stand under the spout where the glory comes out. On those who fear him and his righteousness to the children's children, and to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. Where does he live, y'all? He lives in heaven, where all of the resources are made. What do you need? He's got them plenty. And his kingdom rules over all the earth. Bless the Lord, you his angels. Look at this. Now the psalmist says to the angels, he's pretty awesome, right, angels? Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength. Massive, strong angels are humbled in his presence. You who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word, bless the Lord, all of you his hosts. That's the demonic hosts as well. You who ministers, the good angels, you ministers of his who do his pleasure, bless the Lord, all of his works. How many of you are works of Jesus? Well, we better bless him. In all places of his dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Amen. That'll preach right there. Let's all stand together. Lord Jesus, thank you for Psalm 103 and Psalm 32 as well. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are covered and whose sins are sprinkled. Please picture your sin, the thing that's tearing you up right now or grinding you down. Picture it like that scapegoat, and it goes off into the wilderness, and God empties the bucket that contained all of your sin. Oh, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for a beautiful grace that I am certainly apprehended by even at this moment. Thank you, Jesus. And then the book of Hebrews says, Lord Jesus, you know everything that we go through because you were us. You were a man. You were a human. And you lived in this torn and broken world. You know the things that challenge us because they challenged you. Lord, we stand here tonight, the day before Thanksgiving. May we, Lord, be a thankful people. And if the grouse grump monsters get a hold of my heart and my tongue, maybe I can pull out Psalm 103 and read it right out loud to my own soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and here's why. And then you can read all of those verses. Lord Jesus, again, I pray that every family represented here tonight is so full of your great goodness, so apprehended by your forgiveness and endless mercy, Lord, that you can use all of us to be light and salt to those in our family who haven't given their heart yet to you, or who are nursing and rehearsing a grudge. Don't let me take the bait this year and not be baited into arguing or to pull up old things that really wounded me years ago. Don't forget, Harvest, that's on the cross. He nailed it there. I pray and thank you, Lord God, for this nation. We're still not going to give up hope, Lord. We're going to still continue to intercede for this nation. And Lord, if it is your will to bring a little bit more of a squeezing, then Lord, blessed be your name. That means even more people of Harvest should be salt and light. If people are freaking out by what's going on and don't have an answer, we should. We love you. We thank you, Father, for an opportunity tonight to say thank you for the cross. We can't wait to get home to you, Lord. But until that day, Lord, may I be ready and be used by you. In Jesus' name, and all the loved ones of the Lord said, amen.
You
You've been listening to Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Services are Wednesday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Pastor Steve encourages you to follow Acts chapter 2, verse 42, Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. If you'd like to hear today's message in its full, unedited form or view the verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor Steve, visit harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.